session in front of us here because I talk a lot. And I have two other people to consider. I'm Paige. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Paige.
Today's panel is God as we understand him, her, them. So we're going to open in just a sec. The speakers are myself, Donna, and Joan. So we're going to open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done.
We're going to start with Donna as our first speaker. Just to let folks know, please save your questions until the end. We will have a Q&A session at the end. Thanks.
Are we using the microphone?
I think we need to use the microphone for the recording.
Okay. Hi, I'm Donna. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Donna.
And it feels so formal to stand up while I'm talking, so I'm going to do that. Came to believe this. The title of this is God as We Understood Him, Her, Them. To me, that means came to believe. I'm talking about step three. Came to believe. I have to say that. And ask God to think into my thoughts and speak into my words so that I say what it is that I need to say that's beneficial to all of us. I didn't plan. I thought I did some writing about it and I did some thinking. And what I came up with is that I don't really believe in God, per se. Many years of struggling with the concept, not struggling in a way, but struggling with the concept of God. And I think I've just come to realize that I'm agnostic, and it's okay. I don't believe there is a God, but I don't believe there is a one either. I don't really know. Like, in my mind, the jury's out. I don't know. I do know that many miracles have happened to me as a result of me working the steps in this OA program. My life is vastly different than it was 15 years ago when I came in. And I have 9 years coming up in July of recovery and 80 pounds of weight loss. And I've been maintaining that through two healthy pregnancies. And not too much weight gain with those, like not an unreasonable amount of weight gain with those pregnancies. Basically, what if I don't believe in God? I got the OA literature on this, and I got it at the literature table that is just situated outside this room. Our common bonds are two, the disease of compulsive eating from which we have all suffered, and the solution that we are all finding as we live by the principles embodied in these steps. This is what unites us in a way. Differences regarding a spiritual concept or lack thereof need not keep us from working the program. I think that for me is, for me to go into this, I need to work these steps to keep my recovery, to keep abstinence day after day, to keep showing up. So I work a very practical program. I show up at meetings, I sponsor, I talk to my own sponsor once a week. I have a checklist buddy who I talk to once a week. What else do I do? Gosh. Telephone calls me out of time. Not as much as I used to, granted. Working a spiritual program. It's an itch, like, I find this to be, you know, this is a hard topic for me, actually. This is one of those things I kind of keep to myself, like, I use the word God, I use the word higher power, and I do believe there's, you know, spiritual energy, I believe in spiritual things. I just don't believe there's a God in the heavens who says, you know, you're recovering because of me. I feel like I put in a lot of the work, and God repaid me in terms of abstinence, in terms of relationships, in terms of showing up to life, which is hard for me. I, you know, me left to my own devices, I dived into the food. There's pictures of me when I'm 7. Everyone else is, you know, around the birthday girl. I'm at the end of the table with the cake, like, just right in there at 7. So to me, like, this is who I am at my core. So I need the steps, I need the program, I need a sponsor, I need to be honest, I need to work with sponsees, I need to pay back what I have been given, and I do all those things. Sometimes more, sometimes less. I find, for me, program is ebbing and flowing. You know, when my life is busier because of my outside, my life commitment, I do what I can to show up in program. But sometimes that's less so than it has been in the past. But I still show up. And I think what I realized actually about myself is I'm actually a perfectionist. And I didn't know this. Because I thought, I'm not perfect enough to be a perfectionist. Because perfectionists are perfect, right? But I'm so far from perfect. I fall so short of the mark that I set for myself. But I think that is what makes me a perfectionist. Because I have this, like, crazy high expectations for myself where I don't have for other people. Other people can let me down, other people can do whatever, and I expect them to, but when it comes to me, I have to be perfect. And that is such a disabling outlook for me, because it's hard to show up. It's because if I'm putting myself out there, and I'm not doing it well enough for my own standards, then I'm not happy with what I've done. But that's the great thing about program, is that I just have to show up, and that's all that's required of me. All I have to do in a day is not eat compulsively and not eat my binge foods, and then work with other people and come to meetings. It's, for me, the bar is quite low in program, and I'm so thankful for that. Like, so thankful. Because otherwise I would have went out the door. If I had to follow some explicit food plan that someone had given me that I had to follow while I was out, I would have been out. Like, there's just no way. The minute I have to follow something exactly to the letter, this little part of me is like, no, you're not going to make me do that, even if I have to hurt myself. And that's what I did with food. I hurt myself a lot. And I'm so glad, so grateful I don't have to do that anymore. And sometimes, you know, just to bring it back to the whole spiritual angle, sometimes, like, I go out into the world and I'll be frustrated and I'll say, oh God, just help me, you know? And that really actually helps. It just helps me to calm down and to center again and to just keep going with the flow. Because I find life to be a bit of a roller coaster. You know, I rarely coast. It just seems to go up and down. And there, I'm not even tempted to go to the food, but the old me would have been. Like, the old me would have been like, wow, this is too complicated, I'm having feelings, I don't like this, I'll eat. And it wouldn't even have been that conscious, I just would have eaten. There would have been no thinking beforehand. And so the program has given me the ability to have a warning sign, like, okay, you're going to a bad place. Maybe you should stop thinking about that food you've become obsessed with in the last 5 minutes, and call somebody or do some writing. These are things that I do to bring myself back to center and to remember, because I'm an amnesiac when it comes to my food addiction, that I have a compulsion around food. I will get it in my head that I have to eat this food and it'll make me happy. And that for me, that's actually a lot. The foods that I would love to eat are actually quite bad for me. And thank God I have abstinence. So I think the point that I wanted to make was that this program is for everyone, people who believe in a higher power, people who don't believe in a higher power. For me, I believe in the power of the steps. I believe in the power of the group, and I believe in the power of example that I see. When people, like, get up and say, I have 20 years of recovery, and they look happy, they look healthy, they speak sanely, that reminds me why I'm here, why I need to do that, and so I'm grateful for that example that you all set. Thanks.
Hi everybody, I'm going to sit for this one. I'm nervous, my first time speaking, so.
So, okay, my name's Joan, compulsive overeater and a food addict.
Hi, Joan.
And the topic is God as we understood him or her or them. Or it, whatever you want it to be, that's what it is. For me, when I first came in, before coming into OA, I didn't follow any religious program. My family didn't go to church. My family was all addicted. My mother and father were alcoholics. I have a brother who's a workaholic, a sister who's a workaholic and an alcoholic, and another brother who is an alcoholic and drug addict. And me, myself, when I was younger, yes, I could say I'm an alcoholic. Only for the grace of God of having a son, that stopped me from drinking. But I still smoked, and I still overate. I've been overweight since, I've been told, since I was a child. I have conflicting stories from other people. I used to have a lot of babysitters, and one of them had told me that she had a hard time trying to get me to eat anything. And I thought, well, that's strange, because that's not what I'm told. I'm told that I'm overweight and I'm fat, and see the crack on the sidewalk? That's because you fell over there. That's why that crack is there. So a skinny person wouldn't make a crack in the sidewalk if they were skinny. So having all that negative talk in my head, I believed it after a while that, okay, I am fat. I need to lose weight. First time I went on a diet was when I was about 11 years old. Went with my aunt. I don't know why I went, but I went. And then every 1 to 2 years after that, I would keep going to these weight loss places because I always felt that I was never good enough. I've always had the weight. 13 years ago, I nursed my father to his, would say death. He had lung cancer. And then that's when I quit smoking, cold turkey. But I still had issues with the weight. I was 100 pounds heavier. And I could never figure out why. Why couldn't I get this one under control? I could get the alcohol. I could get the smoking. Everything else I could understand, but this food, I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it at all. I'd been diagnosed clinically depressed, and apparently I've been depressed my whole life, but I can see that. But I never believed in a higher power. With that, I became depressed, and I became suicidal. So I got so down that all I do is cry, and I'm living on my own. My son is grown up now, has his own family, and I'm on my own, and it's in December, and I'm crying, and I notice that I'm alone, and I'm lying in bed, and I've heard of OA before, because my brother had tried to get, he was in recovery for alcohol. He never admitted he was an alcoholic, but he admitted he was a drug addict. And we used to go to meetings together, Cocaine Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, but we never went to AA. So I knew about 12-step programs. So finally I'm lying in bed, and I told myself about 6 months earlier, I should join Overeaters Anonymous. I talked to myself and said, this is addiction like anything else, it's just that it's really not out there. Like people don't really... Society doesn't really recognize it as much, but I think now they're starting to learn more about it, because since there's a lot of overweight people now, and that's due to lifestyles and stuff, I believe. So I'm lying in bed, I'm crying, and I said, okay, I'm going to look and see if there's an OA meeting tomorrow morning. And it was Saturday night, so I go and I look one, and I'm lying in bed. Please. I went on the line and I found one. Oops, I turned it on. Can you turn that on? I think it's on. Are you on? Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. And I'm crying. I found a meeting. It was Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. Oh my God, how could it? You know, that in itself, from not being a believer, now I look back and I think, there's an answer there. Look at that faith, you know. So as I look back on time now, like I can see all the small miracles, even though I'm still not a believer. I believe in spirituality. To me, spirituality is my values. The Serenity Prayer, I used to say that all the time. I would say, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and then I'd have to figure out, what can't I change? I can't change people, places, or things. I can't change that. And then the next sentence is, I'm blank.
Courage to change the things.
Courage to change the things I can. Then I'm thinking, well, what can I change? I can change my thinking. I can go to meetings. I can meet people. And so I went to meetings. Serenity Prayer was my prayer for everything. I went to my first meeting at 9 a.m. and I sat in the back and I cried. I listened to people share and they're talking my story, and I didn't know any of these people. And I really did feel at home. And so I just kept coming. So the first 9 months were great. I was in that honeymoon phase. I was so interested. I was so eager. Small miracles were happening. And we come back around to December again. I've been 9 months abstinent, and I started resting on my laurels, just like the big book says. And that big book is so, I'm amazed at it, because how could this book know what I'm going to do? Like, it just knows. Like, now, how does it know? It doesn't know me, and I don't know it, and I didn't tell it what I did. So I find that kind of spiritual awakening also. It just knocks me on my bottom. So then 9 months comes, I start getting depressed, I stop going to meetings. I go to one meeting a week, where I used to go to two a day. I'd go every day when I could. I worked part-time, so I had the capability of doing that. I'm single, I didn't have no family to worry about. I just had to start looking after myself. So then in 9 months, I fall into relapse. And now I'm again on the couch crying again. Why? Why can't I get a hold of this? Why can't I get a hold of this? So somewhere, it says, fake it till you make it. So we're going into February. The Scarborough missions come up. I go to it. I didn't want to go. I went because something said, just keep going. Just keep going until the miracle happens, right? So then I go there. I learn some things there. That's another way of spirit guiding me. I realize that I don't believe in the God, G-O-D, but I believe in spirits, like afterlife. Like, for me to understand spirituality, I had to put, like, all the people that's passed in my life, my mother, my father, my brother, my fiancé, they're the ones that are guiding me in this program. When I hear people sharing at the meetings, and I went to different meetings, if I was in a situation, I'd go to one meeting, and wouldn't you know it, that would be the step or the tradition we're on, and everybody's giving me their opinion. And I'd go from there, and each time I'd go, I'd become a believer into something. I don't know what it is, but I just kept being a believer. So another miracle was I got a sponsor who I was reluctant to have because it was 4 months before I was in the program. I like fought everything. Even though I was abstinent, I kept headbutting everything. I don't know why. I put up a wall. And you're supposed to get a sponsor and get a meal plan. And I just kept doing it on my own. Kept thinking, oh, I can do this on my own. So when I started relapsing, I met one of my sponsors had come up with this idea of getting this counselor to come from the States, and we would pay. She told me the price, and it was so expensive. But it just happens my income tax was done, and the amount of the income tax was the amount of the cost of this to get this person up, my share. And I don't go, isn't that another coincidence, right? So I went to it, and that is when I realized I had my spiritual awakening, that I am, I did the first three steps, I am powerless over people, places, and things. I'm powerless over certain foods. I'm powerless over everything. I just, and then once I believed that, then I moved on to step two. When I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I didn't believe in the God with the beard and what they show us, that the organized religion show, what I think show. I believe in actual human person. I have to see it to believe it kind of thing. So the people in my past, I know they're real. So that's why I kind of put them as my higher power, and the group, listening to the group, the messages from the groups is my higher power. And the third one was make a decision to turn my will over to the care of my higher power, because I can't even say God, really. It makes me feel uncomfortable inside, but I'm okay to say higher power or universe or something like that. So when I turned it over, saying, God, please help me. I'll do anything. I was so desperate. I was suicidal again, and this time with the suicidal tendency, I could actually feel that something was going to happen. I could feel it, and I never felt that way before. So it scared me. So I was going to do anything to get sanity. So I turned it over. And oh, I'm telling you, when I turned it over, this program was a little bit easier for me. It's hard stuff. I've done my course. I hated it, but I did it. It brings up a lot of emotions. I can't stand emotions because that's why I overeat, because I've been suppressed. So when I turned it over, the chatter in my head went away. I couldn't believe that either. I thought, wow, me resisting for so long. And finally when I turned it over, it just seemed to be much easier, peaceful, to do the program. While I was preparing for this, I also believe that recovery is a threefold solution, spiritual, emotional, and physical. I believe once I get the spirituality and the emotional parts of the program working, the physical just automatically follows. Before, I always used to look at the physical and never looked at the spiritual or the emotional, with which I know the emotional was the one that got me there in the first place. Spiritually, I was dead anyway. But being in program, it really shows me that there is something else bigger than me. I also had to have an open mind. I have faith. I believe everything happens for a reason. I go to many different meetings, and I've asked other people to tell me how they think of people who are like having a hard time with spirituality. And one person told me they call their higher power Jack. And I thought, that's a good idea. Whatever you have to do to believe in something, even if it's this bottle of water, this is my higher power, you know. Just anything, just fake it till you make it. Another one was G-O-D for God, it would be good orderly direction. And then another acronym for ego would be easing out God. So whenever my ego would get in the way, I'm easing out God or my higher power, whatever I choose to call that. Now, I'm still learning, the miracles are happening, even with this speaking today. Like, all I was doing was asking questions about the topic, and then I get an email saying, well, thank you for accepting to speak at our conference. And I thought, uh-oh, there's my higher power again telling me, okay, here's another part of service that you can do. And I'm nervous, but I'm still doing it. And I hope I'm making sense and it's worthwhile. And what is another thing I want to let you know? That I got the spiritual awakening. Now I continue with the steps. Steps are very important. I used my sponsor in the beginning. I didn't want to get a sponsor. I thought I could do it on my own. Obviously, I can't. When I turned it over to my higher power, that's when this program started working. So obviously, I can't do it alone. I cannot do it alone. And if I could do it alone, I would have done it already. I'm much happier now. I still suffer from depression, but I don't go in it deep like I was. I'm not suicidal, that's for sure. I have just some suggestions if people find it difficult to find their higher power. Fake it till you make it. Use your sponsors, even to the best of your ability. They get out of me what I get out from them. So if I ask them questions, they enjoy that. And I learn from people. Also, to have an open mind, listen, go to lots of meetings. I use the tools, all 9 of them. And I just keep living 1 day at a time. I tell myself that too, 1 day at a time, 1 moment at a time. I can remember when I started my new food program. I would sit down and say the serenity prayer and please let this satisfy me to lunch and let this satisfy me to dinner. Do whatever you have to do to get recovery because it's worth it. It really is worth it. And with that, I'll close. Thank you.
I'm going to stay sitting too. I'm going to try to go as quickly as I can. What I'm going to talk to you today is about my spiritual journey, where I started, what happened, and where I am now. But I'm not going to say very much about food at all. I was born into a Catholic family. Oh, I'm Paige. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Paige.
Thanks. I was born into a Catholic family. You know, I was baptized. I was taken to church. You know, I was granted all of the guilt and little of the spiritual process that was supposed to come with practicing a religion. My family, I believe, they were Catholic because that's the right thing to do. That's what they were supposed to do, and that's what they did. You know, I always, you know, church ended at the door in my family. I saw other families who seemed much more connected to their spirituality than mine was. One of the things, during my childhood, and I think this is just kind of resonates as to who I am, I always felt like one step out of sync from the rest of the world. And in church, it was no different. I really wanted to believe in something. I was desperate to believe in a God, and I couldn't. I really tried. I went to, you know, every possible church you could imagine as a teenager looking for God, and I couldn't find God. One of the things that's kind of funny was I was Catholic in a small city where there was only one Catholic church. I was a Catholic in a sea of Mennonites. And some of my friends, you know, invited me to go to church with them, Mennonite church. And man, those Mennonites couldn't cook, so of course I went. And because, you know, they'd invite me to church and then lunch afterwards, and I'm going for the food. Mm-hmm. But I connected with the food. I didn't connect with the religious aspect of it. So, like I said, as a teenager, I kept looking for something to believe in. And I just couldn't fit myself into this, this model And the only thing that stayed with me was that I was destined for hell, because, you know, I couldn't believe in heaven, but I knew hell existed. I just didn't know that I was living in it. So, you know, by the time I finished high school, I knew I couldn't follow an organized religion. I had a lot of resentment, you know, like patriarchal kind of aspects of things, too many rules. You know, I was looking for something, and I couldn't find it in a building, in a book, or through other people. So, you know, I continued to explore other spiritual practices, not necessarily religious ones. And some things resonated with me, and, you know, I kind of kept those. So at this point in my life, I was pissed at this God thing. And, you know, when people would come knocking at my door or passing me on the street and were trying to save me, I had maybe some not so kind words for them. So I got really, really angry. So what happened? I'm an addict. My life got really unmanageable. And all of the diets, all of the binging, the doctors, the therapists, the willpower could not stop me. So I came to OA. And, you know, the moment I heard the G word, like, it made my skin crawl. And I nearly, you know, if I wasn't so overweight and tired, I probably would have ran for the door. But I was really sick, so I just stayed in my seat. So, you know, one of the first things that I actually did is like, I hated the big book. The big book just pissed me off. I went through my big book and I crossed out the word God. Every single reference to God, I crossed out. So I was pretty angry. I refused to use the word God in the Serenity Prayer. You know, and it was just like I was getting in my own way. You know, I resented being a compulsive overeater, and I resented it even more that I was supposed to believe in this God thing. You know, what kind of happened with me was I was desperate. So for me, God became the gift of desperation. And, you know, like at the time, you know, God, this God idea was never present for me. But I was desperate, so, you know, I let go of my concepts. And, you know, I wrote down a higher power. And I'll say one higher power was not enough for me. I'm very compulsive, so I needed three. And that's where I started. My concept of a higher power really evolved. So I had three higher powers. You know, they all had their, like, I needed a whole team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wrote down what I needed from my higher powers, and I started acting as if. And to do that, you know, I had to take that leap of faith, and it was pretty friggin' scary. And I envisioned, you know, kind of like, this was, you know, when I got to the point where I was willing to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, as I understood him, her, them. And I kind of envisioned, you know, me being stuck in the world, standing over like a great big pool of water, and that if I just let go, you know, that faith was that the water was behind me and would catch me. And, you know, I did that kind of envisioning type thing. And one of the things I will say that is eventually that leap of faith becomes the practice of faith. And I kept doing it. And, you know, it served me well. So as I, you know, as I worked the steps, my concept of my higher power grew. You know, I asked for help. I asked for guidance. And miracles happened. You know, I was shown things. My higher power started talking to me, you know, randomly through things like little blue fish in cartoons going, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. So I think, you know, Dory was trans-channeling my higher power. Mm-hmm. And I still struggled with a lot of barriers to faith, like, you know, the idea that, you know, God, the universe, is so infinite and big, like, how can I even matter? So, you know, the evolution of my higher power was kind of like, I don't need all of God. I just need a little God part. So I went from having three higher powers to having, like, part of, you know, the infinite is. And that could focus on me. That was about me. And, you know, loved me and just wanted the best things for me to guide and nurture me and allow me to grow into the genuine me, the person that I am actually meant to be. That's kind of where I started to grow. Like, if I hadn't come to OA, I would never have had the opportunity to live a spiritual life. And I got to the point where I became one of these crazy people that said, I'm really grateful to be a compulsive overeater, because without it, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't understand the word serenity. And for me, the word serenity is, you know, it's a feeling, that sudden realization that I am connected with all things, that everything in the world, everything out there, is interconnected, and I'm a part of that. And I'm no longer out of sync with the rest of the world. I'm in harmony with the world. And that's what a spiritual life, spiritual practice has given me. I still surrender with my will and, you know, giving up my will. I went in and out of relapse for many, many years. And I was talking to a friend, and this was one of those things, you know, how God talks to me through, through other people, things, Disney movies. I think they're all in recovery when they wrote that. So I'm recommending this, personal recommendation. You'll find them in the weirdest places. So I was having a conversation about struggling with self-will and, you know, taking back self-will. And it dawned on me, the moment I became an addict, my self-will was out the door. It was either God's will or my addiction's will. My higher power wants me to be the genuine me, wants me to grow and be happy and to be at peace and be in serenity. My addiction, frankly, wants to kill me. So, like, my will, it's not a choice. I don't have self-will. I have one choice, God's will, food's will. And it's no longer a difficult choice to make. I've talked a bit about, like, what it's like now with my spirituality. I'm just going to refer to my notes kind of here. Okay, so life is still hard. Sometimes it really, really sucks. And it's, and recovery is hard. It's not easy. And, you know, I have been faced with some very emotional, painful experiences. But I am not alone. And I will never be alone again. I have a presence with me that is there, that I can tap into, that will get me through those feelings and help me deal with them. It's not going to protect me from shitty things happening. It's going to help me get through them. And it's called life. And, you know, I would rather, you know, experience life than go through it without ever participating in it. So, I'm just going to kind of close with, the God word. Today, the word God is just that, it's a word. It's three letters that mean many different things to many different people. I use it so I can communicate my idea of a higher power to others. Because, you know, I could call my higher power Bob or Jack or George or Amy. So, you know, it's a way I can communicate a concept. And I can respect that concept is unique to every individual. And it gives me the opportunity to listen to the message without the judgment and hear the wisdom in the words of others. So I'm going to share with you one last thing that really moved me. I was at the ORC convention earlier this year, and somebody said this, and it resonated with me. I would rather live a spiritual life believing that God or something greater than myself exists and at the end of my life be proven wrong than live my whole life believing that God does not exist and be proven right. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Okay, I think we've got about, sorry we took so long, I think we've got about 5 minutes for questions, if anybody has questions. Hi.
How has your concept of higher power changed?
How has my higher? I guess the question was, how has my concept of my higher power changed over the years? I think that, you know, growing up in Catholicism, I believed that if there was a God, I was screwed because it was a judgmental thing, and I was really screwed because, you know, I was also female and already felt less than. Just being who I was, and I, you know, and it's no judgment if, you know, that particular religious practice works for you. I know for many people it does. It didn't for me. So it started out the judgmental thing. Then when I struggled with, like, I could not do the religion thing, and it dawned on me that I cannot follow a spiritual path designed by humans. So I kind of came to the realization that spirituality for me is God-made, not man-made. And, you know, like I said, I needed three, my own little trinity, to, you know, to have my back. Today, like, my higher power is a mentor, is a teacher, is comfort, protection. My higher power thinks, you know, I'm like the cat's pajamas. I've heard that before. So, and, you know, it's a comfort to me. Do I believe that my higher power controls everything? No. I believe, you know, sometimes I get a nudge. I believe there are no coincidences. And, you know, I just, you know, accept that no matter what is put in front of me, I'm going to be helped and I'm not going to be alone. So that's, I hope that answers your question. Yes?
To anybody on anyone previous, do you ever get mad at your higher power of God?
I'm Donna, recovering cultural reader.
Hi, Donna.
I felt some anger, you know, definitely at God the past couple of years. There was about a month where I got some bad news. Not bad news. Something happened to one of my family members. And I was mad. I was so mad, I couldn't even talk about it. And I'm generally a pretty happy, easygoing person, but I was pissed. Like, and I just thought, why would God do this to me? After all this time, haven't I put all this work into this? You know, why? And then, you know, I just kept getting the message, it's happened, it's the reality, deal with it. Accept it, get some information, arm yourself, not arm yourself, but you know what, information is powerful, and if you can follow through on the information you get from literature, whatever, you can deal with anything. And that's when I finally got over it and just started going with my information, getting books on the topic, I felt so much better and I felt empowered. So definitely I felt that about my higher power or God or whatever or the universe, but I let it go.
Thanks, Donna. Any other questions? Okay, I guess that's it. Did you want to respond to the last question too, Jill?
Just anger. Before OA, I was angry, yes. Everything that happened was everybody else's fault, even this so-called God. But now since OA, my question, if anything bad happens, is what's this lesson for me? So now I've turned into a positive thing. So to me, I always look for what's this lesson you're trying to give me? And then I try to work on it. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing.
Thanks. I'll just say I think my speech indicated I was pretty pissed at God. So.
I'll leave it with that. Can everybody want to join in the serenity prayer? Thanks.
Whatever gave me that idea. Thank you for your shares. Try to close the brain.
I'm like, can you manage? Okay. Yep, I'll go in front of the.
Thank you.